Good morning and welcome to the Central Care Cancer Center February edition of the Talk of Emporia. I am Ron Thomas and very pleased to be joined once again this month by Dr. Ali Wazir, who's a medical oncologist and hematologist with Central Care Cancer Center. Dr. Wazir, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Ron. Thanks for having me.
Hey, great to see you. Great to talk with you again. How are things at the Cancer Center here in Emporia?
Yeah, they've been pretty busy. So, good volume of patients and stuff. And we have been pretty busy recently.
Well, Dr. Wazir is joining us every month for the Central Care Cancer Center edition of the Talk of Emporia. Central Care Cancer Center at 1401 West 12th. You can call 620-342-1117 for more information or log on to cccancer.com, and that will get you to the Central Care Cancer website. Well, Dr. Wazir, this month we're going to be talking about colorectal cancer. So we're going to get some education from Dr. Wazir on this. And first, I guess, let's start off with, what is colorectal cancer, Dr. Wazir?
Yeah, so colorectal cancer, as the name suggests, you know, it's any cancer of the colon as well as the rectum. Both of these are thought to be different diseases, so, you know, we kind of group them together. But they're, you know, they have like some things that make them different. You know, more than 90% of the tumors you get in the colon or the rectum are tumors that started on the inside of the colon or the rectum as a polyp. Right, okay. So it's a polyp that slowly kind of learns how to invade through the walls of the colon and spread to other organs adjacent to it or through the blood or through lymph nodes. So when we talk about colon cancer, we're most often talking about these 90% of cancers, which are usually adenocarcinomas. There are other kind of cancers you can have in the colon or the rectum that are not adenocarcinomas. Those are rarer, and it's different kind of cancers, such as GIST is one type of cancer. There's another type of cancer called a carcinoid that you can have in the colon and the rectum. Those are treated completely differently than the most common, which is the colorectal adenocarcinoma.
What's do you look at as far as stages, different stages of colorectal cancer, and how do they maybe affect prognosis?
Yeah, so very, important question. So there is this concept in oncology, and it's called stage migration. So let me give you an example of this, Ron. So think of a person, who has, let's say, what we call stage 3 cancer, right?
Yeah.
And let's say in 10 years, technology moved ahead. You're able to catch smaller cancers. The way you kind of picked up cancers with imaging and everything got better. Your PET scans got better. Everything got better, right? And then, the committee had to sit down and they were like, okay, now how do we figure out, who falls into what stage, right? What I'm trying to get at is that just with the normal passage of time, the numbers will look better, right? So I'll give you an example. Like, let's say 4 centimeters was the cutoff for a certain stage of cancer, like stage 3 cancer,
yeah.
Right? If you decide in 10 years that, hey, now the cutoff should be 3 centimeters, what's going to happen is that the people in stage 3, you've taken out, you've taken out the sickest people in them. They have like stage migrated to a stage ahead, right? So on average, if you take the stage 3 as a group, they will do better compared to how they're doing before.
Okay.
And the people in stage 4 will also do better because now you've added a whole bunch of people who were previously stage 3 and you added them to stage 4. But those people, even if they had stage 4, like 10 years ago, because technology wasn't that good, you wouldn't pick up that very minute disease. So what I'm trying to get at is that, colorectal cancer staging has changed quite a bit over the years. This has kind of like affected the numbers, like it makes the numbers look better when in reality it may not be. But essentially the way we think about staging is, it's stage 1, 2, 3, and 4. And it's very easy to understand. If it's stage 1, it means it was just in the colon and you took it out and that was that. Stage 2 means it was deeper into the colon, like the penetration was deeper in the colon. It got access to blood vessels, and but stayed still within the colon. Stage 3 would be that it involves the colon and the lymph nodes around it. right? So it got out of the colon and now it's in the lymph nodes around it, right? And stage four means that no, you know, left that area, the immediate area where it was, it left that and now it's in the liver or the bones or in a distant organ. So stage three basically means lymph nodes are positive. Stage four basically means, you know, distant organs.
Dr. Ali Wazir, Central Care Cancer Center, with us on the Monday, February edition of the Talk of Emporia. Well, Dr. Wazir, how long does it take for colorectal cancer to develop generally?
So we actually know this in a lot of detail. There's like work that was done, which was very important in, you know, the 70s and the 80s, which kind of like identified what's called the adenoma, you know, carcinoma, the adenoma to carcinoma like sequence, right? And they kind of figured out it takes around 6 to 7 years for a polyp that has the right features to become colon cancer.
Okay.
Right, so starting as a small polyp, like what will happen is the polyp will initially grow outwards into the cavity, right? So it starts at the wall, and the wall has some cancer cells, and those cancer cells like figure out how to make a polyp, like an outgrowth that is towards the inside of the colon, right? So that is important because a CAT scan won't pick this up, a PET scan won't pick this up. The only way to pick it up is a colonoscopy, right? Literally, the only way to pick this up would be a colonoscopy. These polyps tend to bleed often, right? So anybody who's, you know, middle-aged, you know, like in their 40s to 60s, and they start to have, like, let's say, iron deficiency anemia or they're anemic, they should have a colonoscopy to be screened for colorectal cancer because it could they could have a bleeding polyp, which is often, like, one of the first signs of colon cancer. And that whole sequence, you know, takes around 7 years. But remember, that's not the only sequence, you know. There's some other things that that are called serrated polyps. There are different kind of polyp. You know, you have different kinds of polyps. Some of the polyps are completely benign. You know, they have no potential of becoming cancer, like hyperplastic polyps.
Okay.
Some of them are more serious, like villous polyps, which are thought to be one of the more aggressive ones. And there is another set of polyps called serrated polyps. Those polyps, the thought is that it takes a shorter time for them to become a cancer that kind of spreads to other organs. You know, we don't know exactly how long, but around 3 to 4 years kind of from the start to becoming like a cancer. So, you know, it really is a little complicated question, but essentially, you know, this 3 to 5 year standpoint, depending on the type of polyp you have.
This is the Central Care Cancer Center February edition of the Talk of Emporia on KVOE. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more right after this. Good information there. Okay. Segment two coming down here in 3, 2, and 1. Good morning and welcome back to the Monday, February edition of the Central Care Cancer Center Talk of Emporia. I'm Ron Thomas, pleased to be joined once again this month by Dr. Ali Wazir, medical oncologist and hematologist with Central Care Cancer Center. Our topic this month is colorectal cancer. Dr. Wazir, risk factors, signs, and symptoms.
Okay, so let's split this up and we'll do the risk factors first. So that's, you know, something you guys may have heard of. You know, there's an explosion of colon cancer in the Western world. And the thought is that, you know, this has to do with diet, right?
Okay.
So I can only talk about like general trends, you know. There's certain kind of foods that are thought to be kind of more problematic, you know. And the one which we have a lot of information about is probably red meat. You know, but along with this also like smoked meats, you know, meat through preparations, you know, from salting processes or smoking processes, you know, compounds that are formed when certain foods reach close to carbonization, when they're close to the burnt period.
Okay.
So you may have heard like a couple of years ago, there's this whole thing that, hey, fried chips can increase the risk of cancer, including colon cancer, you know. So the thought is like all this food preparation with like high heats, you know, ultra-processed foods, you know, they're releasing chemicals in your diet that, you know, can lead to colon cancer. Another suspicion people have is that, you know, the way we kind of have, you know, our bowel movements has kind of changed over the years, you know. Like, if you go back a couple of generations, you know, they were going to the bathroom like 2-3 times a day, you know. They were having much more roughages in their foods and, you know, they're eating a lot of, like, you know, unprocessed kind of wheat with a lot of bran in it and like a lot of stuff that was not nutritionally very high, but high in roughages, right? And the thought is that, you know, having, you know, constipation a lot, you know, probably is not doing any good, because you think about it, you know, the toxins in the food have a more time to kind of interact with your colon, right?
Yeah.
So those are generally thought to be like kind of the risk factors. There are other risk factors, you know, colon cancer is more common in men. No one really knows why exactly, but, you know, like if you look at the numbers is, you know, I haven't looked at the more recent ones, but it's like 1 in 25 of men in the lifetime will get colon cancer in America. And for
1
the
in
women,
25?
1 in 25, yeah. Yeah, so, and in women, the number is like 1 in 23. Sorry, in women it's 1 in 25, and in men it's 1 in 23.
Okay.
So slightly more common in men. You know, there's no, like, ethnic-wise, I think it doesn't make a big difference, because they've done studies of people who, like, move from Japan and move from, like, the Far East. And once their diet kind of changed to a diet similar to the American diet, like, their rates kind of catch up, you know. Like, they have similar rates of colorectal cancer. There's some genetic risk factors for sure. You know, so in families who have a lot of colon cancer, it can be related to a number of genes, you know.
Okay.
The most common one you may have heard of, or the one which, you know, is classically thought, is called the APC gene. So people who have this kind of colon cancer, basically when they have the, you know, they usually get cancer in their mid-20s. And when you do a colonoscopy on them, they have like hundreds and hundreds of polyps. You know, and for them, the treatment is removing of the whole colon. And it runs in families, unfortunately. So the family members need to be screened, and the ones who have it, you know, in their mid-20s, they should have their colon kind of removed, you know, what's called a proctocolectomy. Unfortunately, these people also can have small bowel tumors too. So they need lifelong surveillance. There's some other, you know, there's a thing called Lynch syndrome. Right, so those folks, they can get colon cancer without polyps, so they don't have a lot of polyps, like a big quantity of polyps, but they still tend to have a high risk of colon cancer, and that's inherited too. And there's some other genes that have also been implicated, you know, but this is a minority of people with colon cancer.
What about symptoms?
Yeah, so we talked about this slightly. Depends on where the colon cancer is, right? On the right side or the left side. So what do I mean by right and left? So the right side of your colon is when your small bowel joins your ileum, which is the part of the small bowel that joins the colon. And then you have the ascending colon and the transverse colon. Colon cancer in this part of the colon usually presents as bleeding, you know.
Okay.
Because, you know, this you won't have any other symptoms because, you know, you're kind of far removed from the end of the colon, right? So these people will have like bleeding-like symptoms, you know, like blood in the stool, you know, iron deficiency anemia, things of that sort, you know. So, you know, any blood in the stool, any black color in the stool, which is called melena, that's just digested blood in the stool, right? Or maroon color stool, you know, those kind of things could be from right-sided colon cancer. Left-sided colon cancer, again, you know, most commonly they'll have, you know, brighter kind of like more blood in the stool, mucus in the stool is a symptom you can have from left-sided colon cancer. Sometimes the polyps, especially the Willis polyps, you know, basically a polyp is just a lot of glands. They can produce a lot of mucus. So some patients will say that, yeah, doc, you know, last 6 months I had more diarrhea, you know, but nothing would come out. It would just be like a mucus kind of thing kind of coming out. Some people can also complain of like lower caliber of stool. They're like, yeah, doc, you know, when I had normal stool before, you know, they're like of a certain size, but now I have like pencil thin stool, very small, thin kind of stool. What's up about that? And I don't have any other symptoms. And then finally, you know, when it gets very bad, you know, it can end up as a bowel obstruction, you know. So that's where the colon cancer, you know, has gotten big enough that it has involved the whole side of the colon. And we call that an apple core lesion. And basically what happens is that it pinches out that part of the colon. And then you don't have bowel movements. You can't pass gas. Your belly kind of, and that's a medical emergency. Those people end up in the hospital and sometimes need surgery.
All right, Central Care Cancer Center. This is the February edition of the Talk of Emporia on KVOE, joined by Dr. Ollie Wazir. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more right after this.
We're good.
We're good. Okay.
Yeah. Good timing on that. Right at the end of the break. All right. And here we go with segment three in 3, 2, and 1. Good morning and welcome back to the Talk of Emporia. This is the Central Care Cancer Center February edition of the Talk of Emporia. Central Care Cancer Center, located at 1401 West 12th here in Emporia. Open Monday through Friday, 8 until 4:30. And you can log on to cccancer.com to get all kinds of Central Care Cancer Center information, or call 342-1117. We're joined again this month by Dr. Ali Wazir, medical oncologist and hematologist at Central Care Cancer Center. And our topic this month is colorectal cancer. Well, we've discussed all kinds of colorectal cancer information here this morning, Dr. Wazir. Let's talk now about if you are, faced with colorectal cancer, what are the options for treatment?
Yeah, so, it's a good question. Depends on, what's the setting, right? Let's say you had a colonoscopy, screen colonoscopy, and they found that you have a very large polyp. If it's a small polyp, they'll just remove it, and you'll get the you'll get the information from the pathology, whether it was a polyp or a truly invasive cancer. But let's say they go in and it's a very large polyp, and they say that, hey, we can't remove this through a colonoscopy without making sure that the margins are clear. This patient needs a surgery. So nowadays, the surgery has improved by leaps and bounds. The first person to see them will be a general surgeon or a colorectal surgeon. And essentially what they'll do is that within one operation, they'll be able to take out the cancer and join the two ends of the colon together for the most part, right? We aren't talking about rectal cancer for now. Let's just focus on the colon cancer. Mm-hmm. Once that's done, they send you to the medical oncologist. And the medical oncologist, looks at the pathology report from the surgery and determines whether you are appropriate to have chemotherapy afterwards to reduce your risk of cancer coming back.
Okay.
So that's called adjuvant chemotherapy. Generally speaking, for the colon, there's no role for radiation, in the treatment of colon cancer. And the reason is that radiation can only be applied to parts of the body that are fixed. So the only part of the colon that is fixed is the rectum. The rectum is the only part of the colon where it is fixed. And that's why the treatment of rectal cancer involves radiation in all aspects, right? So for that kind of cancer, basically what happens is that they'll figure out that, hey, this patient has a rectal mass, right? And then after that, generally speaking, unlike colon cancer surgery, in this case, usually the chemotherapy happens first. So the chemo will happen first, radiation with chemotherapy happens first, and then after that, they go on for surgery. And the reason of that is in the rectum, we are more interested in organ preservation.
Okay.
So what do I mean by that? Because, remember, if back in the day when you had rectal cancer, they just take the rectum out and you'd end up with an ostomy, right? And people do okay with it, and, you can live with an ostomy, and, nowadays the products have gotten much better. But in a lot of patients, you can avoid that by shrinking the cancer with chemotherapy and radiation first. And then you can avoid that kind of surgery that leaves you with a ostomy, which is like a hole in your abdomen through which you can kind of remove, the stool and everything using a bag or, things of that nature. So that's how rectal cancer surgery is different. Or there are focuses on organ preservation. Along with that, our focus is on, avoiding a more morbid surgery. And we use radiation to kind of achieve those aims.
Any specific after treatment protocol?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So for colon cancer, they tried every kind of chemotherapy. So remember, in colon cancer that is stage 4, at this point of time, they just had like 3 more approvals this year. We have over a dozen drugs that work for it, right? They have tried this in the setting of like someone had surgery and you give them chemotherapy, you call this adjuvant treatment to reduce the risk of cancer coming back. In that, of all the drugs they've tried, so far only 2 drugs have been successful in preventing cancer from coming back. And, we have used the same 2 drugs for over 25 years now. Like nothing has changed. Like no other drug has been shown to be appropriate in that setting where you had colon cancer, cancer was taken out. And that is usually given 3 or 6 months, depending on certain factors about the colon cancer. In our trade, we always like mnemonics, as cancer doctors. So we call it KPOX or FOLFOX. Those are like the only 2 drugs combinations that work in the adjuvant setting. But as I said, like if it's, a stage 4 cancer, it's not treatable, but, you have a lot of more treatment options. There's many more medications that have been tried, in that setting and have been shown to be effective.
Well, great information as always. And if you'd like more information, you can contact Dr. Wazir through the Central Care Cancer Center. Again, 1401 West 12th here in Emporia. Their number is 342-1117. Or please lock on to cccancer.com for more information. A lot of great information this morning by Dr. Wazir on colorectal cancer. Well, Dr. Wazir, always a pleasure to have you in here. Thanks for your time, and we'll talk to you next month.
Yeah, Ron, I'll just end with one thing that, remember, they've changed the dates for when you should have colon cancer. You turn age 45. If you don't have a family history, you should get a colon cancer. Remember, in all America, colon cancer rates are going down because of colonoscopy. But for younger people, actually, colon cancer rates have been going up. So we are having, unfortunately, young people with advanced colon cancer, which is a situation we don't want to see. If you're under the age of 45 and you have iron deficiency anemia, or you have any reason to think there's something going on, try to get a colonoscopy sooner rather than later. Don't sit on, your symptoms. I know you're young at that age, in your 30s and 40s, but remember, the rates are going up. So if your doctor suggests a colonoscopy just to make sure, I would say do it. And if you have family history, especially like first degree family history, you should get a colonoscopy 7 years before the time when your relative had the cancer. So if they had, like, let's say at age 45, at age 38, you should probably have a colonoscopy.
I was going to ask you, what about these colonoscopy, the home tests you get for colon cancer you see advertised?
Yeah.
Quite frequently.
Yeah, well, okay, so, Ron, this is a whole other hour worth of discussion, but the short answer is that they're effective, they're okay, but none of them are as good as a colonoscopy, okay. Unfortunately. The three tests that we know that work is colonoscopy, sigmoidoscopy, and the FIT test, the FIT test. But the numbers kind of suggest that colonoscopy is the way to go, if possible.
Sure. Yeah. All right, Dr. Wazir, always a pleasure. We'll talk to you next month.
Thank you. Thanks, Ron.
Yeah, Dr. Ali Wazir, medical oncologist and hematologist, Central Care Cancer Center, joining us on the February Monday edition of the Talk of Emporia. We're here the second Monday of every month from Central Care Cancer Center. Thanks for joining us. Have a good day.
Okay.